All right. I just was thinking a little bit about priorities and just wanted to maybe share a few thoughts and read a few verses that talk about priorities. I think about priorities, like probably the first thing that comes to mind is the first and great command. Matthew, I'm just going to turn to Matthew 22 and read it. And I think there's often a lot of things in our life that are wanting our attention, and there's a lot of things we could think about, there's things we could talk about. I mean, there's even like when brothers go preaching, there's always a question of like, what's the most important thing to talk to people about, or what should we prioritize telling people in a limited amount of time, or if you're just going to give them. So that, and you know, at home, you know, I'm sure you all have that too, but there's always a lot of things to do, and there's should I prioritize this or that? So it's just something we deal with on a daily basis, is prioritizing. And, okay, am I here? Matthew 22, verse 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." That's a tall order. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And that's Jesus says that's the first and greatest commandment. And but then he says the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, a person might think that if I'm loving God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind, like, what's left for anybody else? It's all going to God. But that's not how loving God works. In fact, because we know we're called to love other people too. We're to love our neighbor, as this second one says, and we're to love our enemies. We're to love those who persecute us, despitefully use us. Husbands are even called to love their wives in the same way that Christ loved the church. And in fact, in 1 John 4:20, it says that if we say we love God and we don't love our brother, then we're a liar and the truth is not in us. So the way that that I think this kind of works is that it's not... They just go together. Loving God means loving the things that He loves. And there's not like a... They're not exclusive. We don't just love God. Therefore, we don't love our neighbors. We don't love our enemies. We don't love our wife because we're loving God. We're busy loving God. That's not how that works. A few other things. A few other verses that I had about priorities. John 12, verse 43. Maybe Brother Robert can help us. John 12, 43. People loved the praise of God, praise of men. Yeah. Love the praise of men more than the praise of God. If you care more about what people think about you or what they say about you, if you care more that people will praise you than that God will praise you, you have your priorities mixed up. Matthew 10, verse 37 says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." I think it kind of If we have to first and foremost love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then our neighbor as ourselves, and then I think things will be in order. And maybe I'll just close now with reading another scripture about priorities in Matthew. Chapter 6. Verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So I think that maybe holds another key, that though we love our neighbor, though we love our fellow man, God is our master. And money here is something, or mammon is something that that if we love God, we can't love. Like it's not one of those things that... Yeah, we can love it as long as we love God more. I don't think that's how that works. And maybe that's just because mammon has the... I want to think, like it has the... Somehow it wants to be the master. And so it either has to be God or mammon. Love God or love mammon. Oh, sorry. "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I think those are kind of the thoughts I had to share. So if you have anything you want to add to that or correct, or share in addition to, yeah, feel free.
Amen, Brother Norman. Nothing to correct, or really just, Lord, help us that we may live it. What you said, seek ye first, very short verse, but it encompasses our whole life to perform. I think Thursday night, Brother Maxwell, he read a scripture from Isaiah 61. I remember if we know what it said, and Luke 4:17 about when Jesus started this ministry, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind, set the captives free, etc. In our Thursday meeting, Brother Max read that, and Luke, that's when he started his ministry in Nazareth. And then they were going to, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they were going to lead him up the brow of the hill and get rid of him, right? You know, kill him. And just think, as a lot of evangelicals or people say, that, well, Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. If I just plug in a couple of things, you just say there was a rich man there who kind of liked him. And when they threw Jesus off the hill, just get two other guys, two other people they didn't like, criminals or wicked people, and they considered Jesus one. Well, the gospel would have been finished then, right? Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, and it would have died right there. He wouldn't have to preach for 3 years. It could have fulfilled scripture right there, and he wouldn't have to preach for 3 years. But as someone has said, well, he preached for 3 years to tell us how to live, to give us commandments, to tell us how we're going to live our life. It's not just that Christ, his blood, he died for our sins, and hey, get you up to heaven, but he gave us instructions and commandments and how to live, not just the Sermon on the Mount, but all those things. 3 years like that. And when you were preaching, when you were speaking, Brother Norman, thought of Martha and Mary, and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet listening to the truth from Jesus, and she comes and says, help me, tell my sister to help me, you know, wash the dishes, clean house, tell my sister. And she said, and Jesus said, remember what he said, it's obvious, he said, no, she has chosen the best part, and it shall not be taken from her. Praise the Lord. One last point, that just to encourage you sisters, and in the book of Romans, at the last chapter, chapter 16, there are 29 salutations, greet Apelles, greet Quartus, greet Junia. Of those 29, 15 of them are women, and 14 are men. And the first one, of course, starts right off the top, is greet Phoebe, who had risked her own life. And so just want to encourage you, sisters, just don't feel like you're second-class saints. A lot of times you sisters can be great examples for us. The Lord be magnified.
There are two ways to Thank you. Thank you.